Great worship. I think when it says, let us come into the house of the Lord with worship, I don't think it means, well, let's go and then exactly at 10 we'll start. I think it's, we'll come into the house of the Lord with worship, you know, in our hearts. And really beautiful this morning. Terry said something. I just wanted to relay a scripture to Mr. White. Do not look upon me because I am dark, because the sun has tanned me. I love it when the scriptures confirm what I want to do all the time, and that's just go to the beach. But anyway. I'm just saying, I don't know. Okay. You don't have to turn here in the book of Acts. One of my favorite scriptures. If I can find it. And it says, when Paul was shipwrecked, but the centurion, wanting to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that those who could swim should jump overboard first and get to land. And the rest, some on boards. Now, I'm not saying it's surfboards, but some on boards. So those of you who are boogie boarding or surfing this summer, it's just something to think about. Some on boards. I'm not saying that's from God and that he meant surfboards, but it does say some on boards. And they made their way to the beach. So years ago, you could be put to death if you did not believe that the earth was the center of the universe. Is that correct? Am I right in that? I think vaguely back into my history lessons that I've had, and that I believe it was the church that believed that and would persecute and put to death those who didn't believe that the earth was the center of everything. And then, of course, it was discovered that it was the sun. And I think for so many years now, Christianity still believes their earth is the center of everything. Like Martha, she says, Lord, aren't you concerned about what I'm doing? This is what I see. Can you imagine the Son of God here in your house and you're concerned about getting the dishes out properly? You're concerned that, you know, this is all you see is my universe, what I'm doing, what I can do, like David was saying, to serve the Lord. Where Mary was just doing it, she chose the right thing. She sat at his feet. Let's look in the book of Isaiah, chapter 6. I have to look on the side of my Bible to see where the Isaiah is. Where is that guy? Is he before or after? Here he is. Never mind. Isaiah chapter 6. Now Isaiah, I had my marker there, but I couldn't find my marker. Okay. It doesn't do any good. Isaiah, I was wondering, and if anyone knows, I was wondering how many years had passed from Isaiah chapter 1 to Isaiah chapter 6. you know, we read it, and oh, only 15 minutes went by. You know, but I don't think so. I think it with probably some time passed. I'm not sure exactly how long. But Isaiah was an established prophet. He was speaking the word of God to Israel. And we get to chapter 6 and verse 1, and it says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.' And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, 'Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.'" Here's a man who was speaking the word of God, who knew the word of God, who could understand it, could hear it. But when he saw the Lord, it humbled him. And he realized, "I'm a man of unclean lips." And what did it take? It says, "And one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth with it. And he said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin purged.' Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here am I, send me.'" I think Isaiah's whole attitude changed after he saw the Lord. He humbled himself, recognized the iniquity within his own heart. And yet the Lord came and touched him and cleansed him from that. Then he was ready for service. Only through humility. Let's look through in Jeremiah. I want you to think for a moment about your humanity. And as we go along in the Word, just think about how your humanity and what that means. Patty and I were talking in the car on the way out here about that. You know, recognizing the fact that we're human and what that means, what our humanity means. Is it an exalted thing? Or is it something that we really don't want people to see and to become aware of? But just think about that as we go through the Word here. Jeremiah chapter 7. Let's start with verse 3. God's talking to Jeremiah, and he says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Do not trust in these lying words, saying, 'The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these.' For if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if you do not oppress the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place or walk after other gods to your hurt." Sounds a little bit like James, doesn't it? When he says, what is true religion? Remember the poor, take care of widows. That's what the scripture says, what true religion is. Sounds a lot like James. "Then I will cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. Behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, burn incense to Baal, and walk after other gods whom you do not know?" Or Fuller last week talked about, I think it was in the city of Ephesus, where they had the statue to the unknown god, just in case they didn't want to offend anyone. They wanted to make sure they got them all, so they had a statue to the unknown god. Well, here it is again. "You walk after other gods whom you do not know. And then come and stand before me." He says, you do all this. "Then you come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, 'We are delivered to do all these abominations.' Has this house, which is called by my name, become a den of thieves in your eyes? Behold, I, even I, have seen it, says the Lord. Doesn't that scripture sound familiar? When Jesus went in, overturned the tables. He's saying, amend your ways. Flee down a little bit further. Verse 18. The children gather wood, the fathers kindle the fire, and the women knead dough to make cakes for the Queen of Heaven. And they pour out drink offerings to other gods that they may provoke me to anger. Verse 20. Therefore thus says the Lord God, behold, my anger and my fury will be poured out on this place. Verse 21. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, add your burnt offerings to your sacrifices and eat meat. Verse 22. For I did not speak to your fathers or command them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings and sacrifices. He's saying, you're busy doing things I never commanded you to do. You can look out at different churches. I don't care if it's small home meetings or large 20, 40,000, what are they called? Super mega churches? Mega what? Mega churches? Are they doing things that God doesn't even command them to do? Think about it. How much stuff is going on God has never said to do, but we feel we need to do it to please him? Or, gee, it sure would be a blessing if we could do this, you know. But if God isn't in it, what does the scripture say? If the Lord doesn't build the house, those who work or toil in vain? He's saying, you're doing all this stuff, but I didn't command it of you. He goes, but this is what I commanded. Obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. What the Lord is saying is one thing. We need to humble ourselves, and in all humility, come before him and say, Lord, what do you want us to do? How am I to serve you? Oh, you don't want me to build this? Okay, we won't build it. Doesn't it say that the Lord is more pleased with obedience than with sacrifice? How do we please him? I read that scripture in Jeremiah, and then I had this thought. It was early in the morning. And I said, I wonder what it would be, how you become a pastor in a certain organization. I won't say Calvary Chapel, but it was one of those organizations, Calvary Chapel. But so I looked it up on the internet. How do you become a pastor in Calvary? That one unnamed place. And I looked on their webpage, and I found out, to my understanding, that it takes about 2 years. And you have to have the senior pastor of your church be recommended by two other pastors of the Calvary Chapel Church. And then you spend a lot of time and you get mentored and you do all this stuff. And then within 2 years, you can start using the name Calvary Chapel and you get to use the logo of the dove. And you're accepted into the fellowship, and that's what it says. Then we can have true fellowship. I thought, well, wait a minute. Doesn't it say in 1 John, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin? Didn't Isaiah say, I'm a man of unclean lips? And he says, well, wait a minute. Your iniquity will be remembered no more. Once you see that, as we walk in the light, as who is in the light? As Calvary Chapel is in the light? No. Because another thing they required is that you accept all their teaching and all their doctrine and all their belief. Well, that's fine if you want to become a Calvary Chapel church, but it doesn't mesh with what God says what fellowship is. We should be able to go and meet any Christian anywhere who's walking in the light as Christ is in the light and as we walk in the light, and that's our fellowship. Tom came up to me this morning, and I saw you last week, but I don't really know him that well. But he came up and gave me a hug, and I just felt an immediate connection with him. It has nothing to do with... It doesn't have anything to do with, okay, let's get our minds right, and let's believe, you know. It has everything to do with Christ. While beholding him, we're changed, right? And isn't there a scripture that says, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith? Don't you kind of get that the whole thing is centered around Christ? And it's not centered around our earth, our universe? When you're a little child, the world revolves around you. But when you get into the reality of adulthood, you realize, and it doesn't. Well, spiritually, it doesn't revolve around us. It revolves around Christ. Read the book of Colossians. For in him, by him, through him, for him, to him, because of him, all these things exist. I was watching a science program, where scientists are trying to figure out how everything is held together. Because with the atoms swirling and all these other things swirling, and the best of my ability of understanding it, everything should be blown apart and flying apart. But the scripture says all things are held together by Christ. He's... Hello, I wanted to call it PBS and say, it's in the book of Colossians. All things are held together by him. We're in a political season, but you know what? The scripture says God sits in his heavens and laughs at the plans of man. And that is such a reassuring scripture. You can look around, the tragedies that happened. You know, wasn't it yesterday or the day before, the tragedy in Colorado? The famines, the earthquakes. Does that sound familiar? Men's hearts failing them because of the things that are going to come upon the earth. And what does it say? Jesus said, when you see these things, what are we to do? Look up. Look up. We shouldn't be surprised that these things are happening. They're tragic. Everyone goes through their own. Personal tragedy. But that's the time you're to look up. Let's look at Philippians. You've been thinking about your humanity. Your flesh is so wonderful, God wants to kill it. That's how great it is. Jimmy Fuller told me that one time. Let's look at Philippians 2. How are we to relate to each other? David mentioned this, and it was certainly coming through in the worship. Relating to each other. I talked with a brother last night, and he said, John, I'm done with church. I don't even want to go into a building. I'm done with church. And I said, that's good, but let's not be done with our relationships. I don't care if you set foot into a building, and I call it church, at all. But let's not lose our relationship and our fellowship. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. I was in a church in Phoenix, which is where we live, outside of Phoenix, in Peoria. And the pastor said, okay, we're all going to get together with the leadership team members. Now, there weren't any elders. They were just leadership team members. But they weren't allowed to lead, but they were part of the leadership team membership. I couldn't figure it out either. We're going to get together. This scripture came up, and it said we're all going to be of one mind. And so I said, well, whose mind is that going to be? And you can guess what he said. It's going to be my mind. The pastor, this is the pastor speaking. My mind. I'll tell you how to think, and then once you agree with me, and we got one mind. That way, anyone who comes into the congregation, into the church, and asks a question, everyone can give them the same answer, because we're going to have the same mind. You're going to know what I think about stuff. Well, that doesn't sound very good. If I wanted someone to rule over me, I'll just do it. I'll just do it myself. I mean, I get along with me. I like me. I don't have too many arguments against what I'm doing. So, I'll just make me the master of myself. Why should I give myself to somebody else? So that's where they stopped reading, being of one accord, of one mind. Well, you still need to keep reading. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind. What kind of mind? Lowliness. Where is lowliness? Down low. I'm a retired teacher, and so is my wife, and the Department of Education has this new thing called the Race to the Top. Well, in Christ, and this is not an original, but I heard this from some brother say, there is no race to the bottom. Nobody's racing to get to the bottom. But in Christ, isn't it? He who will be the greatest will be what? Not many people, he said, not many people are racing to get to the bottom. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Amen. We think of the body, and we think of body ministry, and we think of, we'll get together and we'll sing a psalm, we'll sing a song, someone will prophesy, another person will do this, and we can sit back afterwards and say, yeah, that was such great body ministry. Look at, this many people prophesied, this many people sang a psalm, this many people exhorted in a word, which is all good, which we're encouraged to do. But how many of you are esteeming the person next to you better than yourself? That's the body functioning. Let each of you, who's supposed to do this? Let each of you look out not only for your own interests, but also for the interest of others. That's body ministry. If I just can't happen to reach something that I've dropped behind the seat of my car with this hand, then maybe this hand can do it. Yeah, I got it. Let the person sitting next to you in front of you be that extra hand for you. And you be that extra hand to them. Now we get to the gist of it. Verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in who? Christ Jesus. Not in your pastor. Not in the guy that says, yeah, I'll tell you how to think. No, the mind that was in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. In order for Jesus, I mean, when you think of your humanity, Jesus had to humble himself so he could become human. Our humanity isn't that wonderful. It isn't that great. But God's grace is that wonderful. He sees our humanity, and he helps us through it. He helps us with it. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. Talking about humility and humbling yourself, there's a saying that there are no atheists in foxholes. You know, when you're getting shot at and bombs are going off and you're down in a hole, everyone believes in God. However, that's not true. I don't believe that. Jesus was crucified between two thieves. Were they both praising him and saying just, no. One guy was taunting him, cursing him. He wasn't believing in God, even though he was in a quote-unquote foxhole. There was, hey, save us and yourself. If you're the Son of God, do, you know, come on. And what does the other guy do? He humbles himself and he says, Lord, just remember me when you come into your kingdom. Well, I wish I could, but you weren't around long enough to receive the baptism, and you didn't get to, you know, you didn't witness to anybody. How can I do that? I mean, Lord, just remember me. I don't know about you, but I've experienced times where I just want God to remember me. Lord, if you just don't forget about me. And there's not much more else you can say. You humble yourself before God. A lot of the word that's been coming from here has been about grace. But you know, God just doesn't just dole out grace to everybody. Did you know that? The two thieves on the cross, who received grace? The one who humbled himself and said, remember me. The scripture says, humble yourself. Well, let's look at it. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You ever watch a football game when someone tries to make a tackle and they get stiff-armed? He's going to come in there and make a perfect textbook tackle, and the runner just kind of stiff-arms the guy. He resists him. We don't want God to resist us. And the thing about humility, and I'm open for correction on this. Every time I read about it, it says, humble yourself before God. There's a scripture that says, humble yourself before God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Well, I'm over in the corner resisting the devil. I resist you, devil. I resist you, devil. I'm going, he's still there, and I'm resisting you. The first part is humble yourself before God. The humility is up to you. It's up to us. It's much better to come before him in humility and say, I am a man of unclean lips. or Lord, just remember me. Throw yourself on him. That's when he gives grace. There was one more. Here it is. One more scripture and I'll be done here. Colossians chapter 2, if you could turn there. Colossians 2 and verse 18. And I've never really seen this scripture this way before. Colossians 2:18. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. Don't let anyone cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility. Leaders who walk in false humility are those that draw people to themselves and say, yeah, you're serving God as you serve me. I'll serve God, you serve me, and then everything is perfect. And that's how we... You're being cheated out of your reward of knowing him. True humility says, you know the Lord. You know the Lord. When they came to John the Baptist and they said, hey, aren't you concerned that Jesus is taking your disciples away? What did John reply? What was that? Yeah. He didn't say, oh, I'm afraid I'm losing people, and start bringing a word about don't drink out of too many fountains. And, you know, don't be careful who you're listening to. You know, come on, I was the guy here before. I was clearing the way. You know, don't. I must decrease. He must increase. Leaders, men of God, prophets, apostles, whatever you want to call them, who walk in false humility are only out to cheat the sheep of their reward of knowing Christ. Because they draw and collect people to them. They're puffed up. They're vainly puffed up by their fleshly mind. And what is it? They don't hold fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. It all comes from him. He's the center. He's the middle of all this. I encourage you today, whenever, look through the word about humility and who Christ is. The book of Colossians is so wonderful how it just lays out who Jesus Christ is. He is the image of the invisible God. Why should we look to someone else? We just look to him. We look to him, the author and finisher of our faith. Amen? Lord, just bless the word to us. Let it be a light. Let us just come and just say, Lord, we humble ourselves to you. Whatever it is you desire to work in our hearts in this church, let us esteem one another better than ourselves. Let us truly move in what you taught and the example you gave us. Lord, that at the Last Supper, you washed the disciples' feet. How much more should we? Lord, we humble ourselves to you this morning. We proclaim our love for you, Father. Amen. Amen.
Want to add my amen. Amen. Lord, spoke to our hearts this morning.